Welcome. The following is an iceberg chart on the various aspects of semen retention. For those unfamiliar with an iceberg chart, we will go through the purported benefits and other aspects of semen retention, getting deeper and perhaps darker at each tier. The information presented here is for entertainment purposes only. Please look into all the research before deciding to commence. Let's begin. Tier 1. The physical benefits, energy and vitality. The first and easily the most often reported benefit of semen retention is increased energy. The feeling of lust is an energy that men carry, engaging the reproductive organs in the production and ejaculation of semen is a biological process that requires much energy from the body's reserves. That a great deal of energy is lost after ejaculation should be known to any man who has engaged in sex or masturbation. Energy is the fuel for life. It is said that the restraint of the sexual energies provides more energy for every other function taking place within the body. Masturbation for men in most cases results in the ejaculation of semen from the reproductive tract. It can be thus classified as a reproductive activity. We know that reproductive activities require much energy, and in many plants and animals, the use of these energies negatively affect the overall lifespan of the organism. We will go more in depth into the physiological connection as the presentation goes on, but at this point it is logical to reason that the energetic advantage gained from semen retention originates from a physiological origin rather than from any mental placebo. The face. A glowing face is another frequently purported benefit of semen retention. The face reveals much about one's physical condition and state of health. When energy stores are low, it is usually reflected in the cheeks and under the eyes. They lose a suppleness and dark shadows emanate as rings under the eye sockets. If continence is restoring energy, then be sure that it is also restoring health, and the first place this will be visually reflected is in the face. Much of the suppleness of skin and youthful appearance of the individual is due to the subcutaneous fat stores, particularly in the face. As we age, these tissues naturally lose volume, and we see the typical aging signs of hollow cheeks and fat loss, and in some extreme cases, emaciation. A study has cited that reduced reproduction leads to increased fat stores in multiple organisms, along with an increase in lifespan. Conversely, the overuse of this function has been linked to depletion in these fat stores in old texts such as by Dr. Deslandes, who wrote, "It is not uncommon to see onanists, that is, masturbators, affected with complete state of marasmas. Their frame is reduced to a skeleton and presents in anticipation a picture of the state in which death will soon place them. Many parts, as the loins, thighs, and lower extremities, are often remarkable for their extreme emaciation. The facility with which onanists regain their flesh on leaving off these bad habits is equally remarkable." Written in the early 1900s, "Continence is the foundation of all health. Continence makes the body strong, the mind healthy, the eyes sparkling, the cheeks shining, and the face beaming with magnetic aura." And from the words of Swami Sivananda, "A good lot of energy is wasted during copulation. Bad memory, premature old age, impotence, various sorts of eye diseases and various nervous diseases are attributable to the heavy loss of this vital fluid. It is greatly shocking indeed to see many of our youth walking with tottering steps, with pale, bloodless faces, owing to loss of this vital fluid. Instead of jumping hither and thither with agile, nimble steps, with vigor and vitality, like the squirrel. Some people are so passionate and weak that even the thought or sight or touch of a woman causes discharge of semen. Pitiable is their lot." The eyes. Masturbation makes you blind was said to be a common proverb of old times. It is often laughed at now as an old wives' tale. The renowned physician Tissot, who once was praised by Napoleon himself, wrote that the eyes became dim and weak from masturbation. Julius Africanus, a Christian historian from the 3rd century, wrote, "Horses, just like human athletes, should abstain from sexual acts. This causes damage to the eyes." The eyes have been referred to as the window to the brain, and some say they can provide a view into our brain health. It thus stands to reason that if our brain's resources are being drained of energy for any reason, then this would become visually apparent in the eyes. There is, however, no definitive evidence on this connection that I could find in published modern research. In more recent times, as R. Bernard wrote, these pitiful individuals, when in possession of their normal brain structure, never realized that with each discharge of semen or fluid, they are pouring forth the very substance of their nerves and brain, until a time is reached when their brain is so sapped of lecithin that it ceases to function. Our eyes reveal much about our state of health, particularly our brain health, it seems, as does the face. Many report the eyes to become clearer, more lustrous, and magnetic during semen retention. Could this be due to the conservation of resources needed for the eyes and brain? Complexion. Your body is a complex organism that requires energy to run all the physiological processes occurring in it. The source of this energy is known as ATP, or adenosine triphosphate. ATP is often referred to as life's energy currency. Your bodily processes that are keeping you alive would not be able to function without it. We absorb energy from the sun and from food, which gets converted to this energy molecule. Among other things, ATP is used for cell division, nerve and muscle function, and reproduction. Reproduction requires much energy and can thus drain the sources of ATP, as do all other functions that require significant energy. In the skin, cells require the supply of ATP to function. It is said that ATP revitalizes intracellular processes in the skin. If the reproductive activity of ejaculation occurs frequently, then how would this affect ATP? As ATP is required for reproductive processes and sperm production, an excess in ejaculations would likely deplete this source of energy, the energy being required for other processes such as skin maintenance. From this, we can see how the overuse of energy in one area, such as reproduction, can influence another area, such as skin condition and quality. Virility. Virility relates to energy. While energy is the general terminology for strength and vitality, virility refers to the masculine and sexual characteristics of the person. It is often said that this virility a man feels is in direct proportion for his desire for sex. That is to say, a sexual man is a virile man. This feeling of virility, or this feeling for sex, is said to be what makes birds sing, what inspires man to create works of art and reach lofty heights in all areas of creative endeavor. Napoleon Hill wrote, "Sex desire is the most powerful of human desires. When driven by this desire, men develop keenness of imagination, courage, willpower, persistence, and creative ability unknown to them at other times. The results of ejaculation for a man always result in a reduced desire for sex temporarily, known as the refractory period. If one were to constantly be ejaculating, then this refractory period would also continue as one's energy drains. It is not unreasonable to assume that one's vitality would also be negatively affected too." Written in the late 1800s on the topic of virility. Virility is a word quite too little considered. It is derived from the Latin ver, a man. But we use the word here with added emphasis, as meaning a man who is whole, sound, full of courage and vigor, and capable of reproducing his kind in equal vigor. A man who has expended his resources, bankrupted his body and mind, weakened himself so as to be an incapable person, may be a man in the anatomical sense, that is, he is not a child or woman, but he is not a man in the large sense. Such are not virile. They might possibly reproduce their kind, that is, reproduce weaklings, but not children capable of becoming full-grown, powerful men or women. Experiments have been made estimating the number of spermatozoa in those persons who have lost their virility by excesses and unchastity, and the results showed a very great reduction, and the quality also was inferior. That is, the sperm is weakened in proportion as the body is weakened, often in a higher degree. It may be owing to this inferiority of the quality of these products that inferior children are frequently produced from parents who, but for excesses, would have produced superior ones. It may also explain why children are sometimes superior to their parents. They may have been begotten when the state of virility was very high. Of course, this would also suggest a corresponding state on the part of the mother. Experiments made on dogs and other domestic animals show that after 3 consecutive seminal withdrawals, there were but few spermatozoa in the seminal fluid, and after 4, scarcely a trace, until nature had time to restore the loss. It seems as if it ought to be one of man's chief aims in life to preserve intact his virility, his manhood. It may be lost in many ways. By intemperance, by the use of tobacco, by any effeminate habit which weakens the body, but it is most frequently lost by unchastity. Woman has a corresponding duty in preserving her body in the same pure, high state, in order that she, too, may be chaste and a temple fit for the indwelling spirit. Muscle growth. Another often cited benefit of semen retention is increased muscle growth. People practicing semen retention often claim on forums that they have seen an increase in muscle mass and performance whilst on semen retention. Again, there is no published evidence to support this connection, though sexual abstinence has been shown in studies to increase testosterone, and we have established that increased testosterone can lead to increased muscle growth. Anecdotally, a member of the Reddit community posted his testosterone levels before and after 300 days of semen retention, and his results showed his free testosterone levels to have roughly doubled. Although this is an area that requires more research, the connection seems reasonable when viewing the available data and overwhelming number of observations by people experiencing this increased growth on semen retention. Conversely, in a study on salmon during their reproductive period, muscle catabolism was said to generate support for gonadal activity and gamete, sperm, development. Why is it that salmon during the periods of reproductive activity lose muscle mass? Could it be that the resources required to reproduce carry a burden on other systems and functions in the body, such as muscle growth? Furthermore, could the conservation of these energies contribute to more efficient function of our bodily processes? The costs of reproduction on biological function have been researched at length, and we will go deeper into these findings in the coming tiers. Endurance and stamina. Endurance and stamina have been said to increase on retention. One can go for longer at the gym, lift heavier, fight better, and so on. The boxer Muhammad Ali was known to have great stamina. He went 15 rounds getting knocked down and still came back with a win. From Muhammad Ali's book, an Olympic boxing coach says about Ali, "There's a kid just come down here named Cassius Clay. If you bet on him every time he fights, you'll be a rich man, because he won't lose a single fight. I believe his thing is sexual control, and he's got it. Any kid who can control his sex can with the title, I believe. The former world heavyweight boxing champion David Haye said on the topic of retention, "I don't ejaculate for 6 weeks before the fight. No sex, no masturbation, no nothing. It releases too much tension. It releases a lot of minerals and nutrients that your body needs, and it releases them cheaply. Releasing weakens the knees and your legs. Find a lion that hasn't had some food for a while, and you've got a dangerous cat. So there won't be a drip from me, even in my sleep. If there are girls all over me in my dream, I say to them, 'I've got a fight next week. I can't do anything. I can't do it.' That's control. I've been doing that since I was 15, and it's part and parcel of my preparation now. That's why I am who I am today. It's down to all those little sacrifices. Find me another boxer who makes that sacrifice, and you'll find another champion." Deeper voice. The connection between voice and reproductive glands, or specifically the testes, has been well known since ancient times. Castration was a means to preserve a high-pitched voice and was often carried out among choir boys in the late 16th, 17th, and 18th century. It is with the onset of puberty and the development of the secondary sexual characteristics that the voice breaks. It is said that the deepening of the voice is caused by testosterone. As previously mentioned, semen retention has shown on the short term in studies and long term anecdotally to increase testosterone levels. The reports of a deeper voice during semen retention are numerous and often reported on semen retention forums. The champion athlete. Many renowned athletes of note claimed celibacy as their ingredient for success. This notion of sexual abstinence increasing athletic performance has existed since ancient times and continues to be a popular practice among athletes, and in particular boxers, as previously mentioned. In ancient Greece, Olympians would take a vow of celibacy, as it was thought that the renunciation of sexual pleasure increased the vital spirit. The sperm represented masculinity and strength, and loss of it was a loss of one's own manhood. The athletes that engaged in sex before training were said to appear markedly different. Philostratus's Gymnasticus is considered one of the only ancient texts solely devoted to the topic of athletics. He wrote, "Those who come to the gymnasium straight after sex are exposed by a greater number of indicators when they train, for their strength is diminished and they are short of breath and lack daring in their attacks. And they fade in color in response to exertion, and they can be detected by signs of that sort. And when they strip, their hollow collarbone gives them away. Their poorly structured hips, the conspicuous outline of their ribs, and the coldness of their blood. These athletes, even if we dedicated ourselves to them, would have no chance of being crowned, i.e. winning victory, in any contest. The part beneath the eyes is weak. The beating of their hearts is weak. Their perspiration is weak. Their sleep, which controls digestion, is weak. And their eyes glance around in a wandering fashion and indicate an appearance of lustfulness. If an athlete has just had sex, it is better for him not to exercise. In what sense are they men? Those who exchange crowns and victory announcements for disgraceful pleasures." Immune system. It is said that semen contains an abundance of zinc. In a book on the analysis of semen, it was written, "The mean zinc content of the human prostate gland was 68 to 2 milligrams, which is in considerable excess of zinc content in human liver, muscle, brain, testes, or blood. These investigators state that the zinc present in the human seminal plasma is derived chiefly from the prostatic secretion. Among factors which influence the production of semen in man and animals, hormones rank paramount in importance. The formation, output, and composition of ejaculated semen are the outcome of a concerted action of several endocrine organs, with the pituitary gland and the testicular interstitial tissue in dominant positions. Furthermore, there is much published evidence of zinc being linked to improved immune system functioning in both animals and humans. This positive link between zinc and human immune system functioning has been known for decades. Although there is no direct research on semen loss and zinc levels, one could perhaps reasonably assume that the constant loss of this vital resource could be detrimental to the strength of the immune system. Hair growth. The link between hair loss and masturbation is perhaps a controversial one, yet the history of this association spans back to ancient times. Hippocrates noticed this connection, writing, "Eunuchs are not subject to gout, nor do they become bald." Aristotle attributed baldness to heat loss caused by sexual activity and explains that this is the reason women and children never go bald, because they are not capable of producing seminal secretions. In the 1940s, James B. Hamilton studied castrates and balding and found that those castrated before puberty never went bald, and those castrated after the onset of baldness had a complete halt of hair loss progression. This is not to endorse castration in any way, as there are numerous negative health outcomes associated with this outdated practice. This research does, however, give some weight to the words of the ancient philosophers and physicians of the potential origins of hair loss. The current consensus is that masturbation doesn't cause hair loss. However, many have argued this point, and various writings of old stated quite the opposite. It currently remains a contentious topic without a clear conclusion, and is at least perhaps worthy of more research. Bones. Another common reported benefit of semen retention is improved bone strength. This one is mostly anecdotal, but there are many threads on semen retention forums writing how they've experienced an improvement in bone strength or density. Semen analysis has shown that calcium, magnesium, and zinc are to be found in the prostatic fluids, which could indicate a benefit of retaining it in the body. This, however, is currently just a theory. Stronger legs. Many people claim to get weak legs after sexual activity. In the English language, there exists the phrase, weak at the knees, which is often used when seeing an attractive person and triggering the sexual feeling, which emanates from the reproductive organs and overstimulates the nerves to cause the knees to shake and become weak. Tissot cited numerous cases when masturbation caused patients to develop weakness of the legs. This was in the 1800s, however, and current public consensus perhaps does not support such claims. It does stand to reason that if one were using up their sexual energies, then the legs, the area the genitals are directly connected to, would feel an immediate withdrawal of energy. Conversely, conservation of these energies could be assumed as beneficial for maintaining the strength of the legs. Another doctor from the 1800s wrote, "We have seen in several of the preceding cases that permanent contractions of the lower limbs resulted in onanists, masturbators, from affections of the spinal marrow." Increased masculinity in men, increased feminine traits in women, while practicing abstinence are topics often talked about in semen retention. As discussed before, the testosterone increase is a prime reason that people believe this to be the case. It is also said that constant ejaculation causes men to become effeminate. A doctor's writings from the 1800s said on the topic, "Onanists, masturbators, render themselves effeminate and demoralize their constitution by using these parts in such a manner as to fatigue and change them, and to observe women robbing themselves in the same manner of their beauty, the delicacy of their form, and the charm of their voice." Another writer of the 1800s, Tissot, wrote, "Young persons assume the air and the diseases of the aged. They become pale, stupid, effeminate, idle, weak."